Psalm 91 as this month. The plan is to use a couple of psalms, each of which informs us of a couple of themes. In November, we have Thanksgiving later, and we have, maybe you knew this, there's an election cycle this week, and we'll acknowledge that sort of by way of the psalm selected for today. So morning and evening, there'll be that theme. Don't do this often. It's not going to be super political, so if you're getting amped up for that, you'll be disappointed. But I think it relates to where we, like the evening service, we're looking at servant leadership. Last time we looked at elders, and tonight we'll look at the magistrate as well. And so this psalm, it's in a word, is protected. That's the sermon title, Protected. So if you wonder what the sermon's about today, it'll have something to do with that. As we hear, and we'll later sing in Psalm 91. We just sang a different psalm. We sang Psalm 20. Maybe you recognize some related themes. The word protection was used there as well. That desire that we have, even as we confess in that psalm as well, that some trust in chariots and horses. Hey, but not us. We trust in the name of the Lord our God. That's what we confess. So hopefully that rings true for you, even when an election looms large. We'll step into Psalm 91. It does appear as we read that the author is facing some sort of a trial, maybe even an actual battle. Maybe you'll feel that as we read some actual scheme. There are snares that are pictured here surrounding, set against a particular person. So all around and within this person, we will hear a singer sing. And we can ask ourselves as we read and listen, if we hear, do we find ourselves safe and protected from this word? Let's listen in and together hear the word of the Lord. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence, and will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge, no evil shall be allowed to befall you, no plague come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him. Because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for revealing your salvation, your protection, your care, your comforts. Lord, as we receive these words and sing them back to you in just a moment, we pray that your Spirit would be the one leading us so that we receive this truth and this comfort for ourselves. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. At Costco, maybe you've noticed that they have these security systems. Maybe you've eyed those before. You have options. There's, I think, Arlo and Owl and Ring. Of course, Ring. We got one of those. We got a Ring system for our house. They got cameras and apps. If you play with those, you think, oh, I must be pretty secure now. Now I can know who's at my front door and also who took my package. We had a recent event where, like at 2 in the morning, some guy came up and took our American flag. So now we know. That's where it is. Well, now we don't know. So I don't know how that guy's voting. kind of hard to be. I'm a little conflicted about that kind of patriotism. And it bothers me that the stealing itself is so simple and seemingly unstoppable, even if you can record it. Now, if the stakes were higher, you think, well, whoa, if that guy actually came in the house, whoa, and started smashing things and coming after persons. See, the security system doesn't stop that, does it? It doesn't really protect all of my stuff, and it doesn't protect myself, really. It doesn't protect my family. It's just a camera. Doesn't protect my fortune, such as it is, or my feelings, or doesn't protect my faith or my future, and it certainly is not forever. And if you're thinking, lighten up, it's just a camera, I know. It can't do all of that, that's true. So what can protect all of that? You say, oh, the police? No. How about my parents? My parents can protect. No, not your parents. How about a pastor? Don't count on it. Ooh, I know some politician. The president will save the day. Protect me from all harms. Make me feel safe and secure. Protected. We are on the precipice of another election cycle. I mentioned that already. The plan today, then, is to sing a psalm. A psalm about protection, safety, in the true sense. It's all summed up in Psalm 91. That will be our lyric for today, a psalm that shows that when your trust is in Him, and I'm putting that in quotes, we're getting there. When your trust is in Him, the one celebrated here, when that's true, you're protected. Wonderfully protected. The psalm sings of the true salvation. So we'll ask up front, if this is your song, you'll get to sing it. But today in November 2024, is this your song? We'll walk through 4 points if you like to keep track of where we're heading. The feature of being protected as God's people. We'll find expression by way of proclamation. Pictures, promises, and pronouns. Protected by way of proclamation, pictures, promises, and pronouns. The first of those points, if you heard them, they're ringing true for the truster and heard in terms of proclamation. And if you look with me at the opening verses, this is a summary, a personal statement of proclamation. Trust, verses 1 and 2, I'll read those again. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Verse 2, I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. There's a proclamation. I'll give you 3 accents of the proclamation. This will go by pretty quickly, I think. I'll give you the terms of protection, the titles of the protector, and the trust of the protected. Again, I do this to myself. Subpoints help me see what I'm trying to say. I don't expect you to write all that down. But the terms of protection are listed there. They're in verses 1 and 2. I'll rattle them off. You can see them there. Shelter is one. That sounds good. Shadow, in a good sense. Refuge and fortress. We sang about this last week. Mighty fortress. Other psalms use these titles and these terms of God's protection of His people, which leads to the protector. So if we have 4 protections, we have 4 names given. We have the Most High. See that verse 1? He's Almighty. He's the Lord. So there's Yahweh is involved in this. And God. So 4 big titles identifying the protector. This is the kingly power and rule of all the earth and everything else. all your enemies. This is the one. He protects you, or he, or him in this psalm, and this is from what you're protected. This is where your trust is. Notice that it's a proclamation that is personal. You're protected. See the I. This is first person. I will get to the pronouns later, but notice them here. I will say this, and my God, in whom I trust, verse 2. It's almost like a vow. The psalmist is letting you know that his rest is in him. He's all in. Up front, I'll let you know that. I'm all in. My trust is in this God, the protector. I'm proclaiming that. And then he'll give some reasons for you to join in the song as well, because it's personal. We have the shelter, and here's the singer from the start inviting you to hear. There's an expression of trust. If that's not part of your song today, then again, we'd want to slow down and make sure that you're trusting in this God. Otherwise, what I'm about to say is, it might just be nonsense, and it won't apply to you. Your trust needs to be in this protector, identified here and elaborated in just a moment. So we have this trust by way of proclamation. That's point one in a song that assures you, as the people of God, that you are protected wonderfully. And then the proclamation is practically, you could say poetically, put into pictures. And this is point two. You are protected as expressed by proclamation and by pictures. I almost put poetry here because it's that too. It's poetic pictures. And they're painting. They're using various colors and certain complexions to create the kind of protection that we're singing about here. And I'll break it down this way. Again, my subpoints are the pictures show this. You're protected from wickedness, and you're protected with wings. That's my summary of a lot of what's going on in verses 3 through 13. Protected from wickedness, first of all, we'll pick up our palette of colorful pictures, and we'll see them categorized in these two ways. So the picture of protected from wicked, you see that there are wicked, there's evil attacks. If you look at me, like in verse 3, we have pictures of snares, and so there are various schemes going on, people hiding. He will deliver. He will deliver you. He will protect you from these things, the snares. So there's physical, there's verbal plots and schemes. Arrows are coming in, verse 5. So again, physical, spiritual, this is all at seeking destruction. That sounds like an attack. Along with afflictions and accusations, so verse 3 and verse 6 also, there's this picture of pestilence, so there's this deadly disease. One reason I chose this psalm for today is during COVID, also an election year. In 2020, in March of, I found an email that I received, March 21st, 2020, do the math. And I'm pretty sure that I got COVID like this week, the week this came out. I hadn't got it yet, but I was really sick that week. But I got an email from a lady in North Carolina, and evidently there was some Tri-City Herald article that made it to her newspaper. And she very much wanted to, I wrote about Thanksgiving from Philippians. And she wanted, now that this COVID thing was rearing its head, she wanted me to, she wrote a couple pages on Psalm 91. Giving a testimony of the power of Psalm 91 in her life and applying it to that virus early on. She wanted me to know about God's protection, that you live without fear in this world. And it turns out even a week before that email came, there was a Young Life email. The local Young Life staff was asking people to join them every day at 9 a.m. for 91 days to pray Psalm 91. So this one at that time was a call to protection, and in particular there you may recall the pestilence. And here's this picture of the Lord protecting his people from pestilence. You can hold that thought for a little bit and see if that is related here. Because there's these attacks and afflictions, and even animals get a picture in the wickedness category. If you look at me at verse 13, we have evil picture personified, if you will, animated in the presence of lions and snakes. You see that? And so we have two kinds of lions are mentioned twice. We have the young lion and we have the old lion, the very powerful, very problematic creatures. You would lose in that fight. And snakes, you like snakes? Yeah, they're mentioned twice here too. Same breath, so you've got the adder, so that's like a cobra. You got the poisonous snake here. And then you have the serpent. This is a large kind of snake. Sometimes it could be translated dragon. Quite a picture. This is wickedness coming at you and the poetic pictures that are being used. Mortal threats. Pictures of evil forces that hate God's people. Wicked things at work in the world. And yet, wrapped up in that picture is this picture of wings. It's hard to miss that. Protected from wickedness and protected with wings. This is the second picture. We see and feel God's tender care. We could say his armor even. Verse 4, he will cover you with his pinions. Those are his feathers. Under his wings you will find refuge. So you got mama birds taking the blow of the elements. You can picture them. They just cover up their little birds. They're getting attacked. I'll keep you safe. That's quite a picture. It's tender and yet strong. We have images of wartime. We have arrows and people falling and walls being built. And yet there are these wings. Strong wings. An abode. His faithfulness, verse 4. A shield and a buckler. What's that? It's something that's wrapped around, provides protection, like the wings. You have these walls. Walls create some sort of picture as well. Castle walls, armor-like, a place to find safety and shelter when there is trouble, when there's wickedness. Also, verses 9 and 10, you see the Lord pictured as a dwelling place, a refuge. Therefore, there's no evil allowed in your tent. The timely action, there's protection. Day and night, you see that, that's mentioned by name. And noonday, verse 6, around the clock, constant care, action from the Almighty, protecting you. He is in your favor. He is in your defense. If there's a time of trouble, thousands might be falling. Picture of judgment, the recompense of the wicked. Verses 7 and 8, the judgment of God, faithful one, comes for you. Plague or pestilence, be protected. If you remember anything about the Exodus, you know that part of the story. There's a movie been made about that and a real life version. Where the Lord delivers his people from the wicked and protects them for himself. And also under the picture of the wings, I'll make this brief, there's a longer version, but the angels. Do you like talking about angels? We had a graceful dinner last night. I didn't bring this up. But if you're in a pinch and you have no conversation, if you think, ooh, no one's talking. I brought this up before. You can bring up back pain. People like to talk about their back pain. And people like to talk about dreams. That seems to be an exciting thing. But angels, too. You start talking about angels, you go, oh, what do you got? And then we talk. And then we're either making up stuff or we find things in the Bible, like right here. What do you think of this picture, verses 11 and 12? I'll read that again. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Okay? Does that sound like protection? Huh? An angel actually keeping you from harm, lifting you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone? In other words, you're not even going to stub your toe. The angel keeps you from stubbing your toe. That protected. And again, at this point, the plan is not to swerve into the what's the deal with angels sermon, but it's a very fascinating subject. We have had teaching. The Belgian Confession actually has an article on angels. We're around for that one. It's in the evening, but it was Article 12, I think. Angels. Not the point of this song, but they are a picture in this psalm. A picture of what? Protection. There's a protected person here in the song. God has his eye on someone named you or him. And while under his care and wings, he addresses the wicked too. And this is the sure word of the psalm in proclamation, in pictures, and in promises. This is point three. If your trust is in him, you are protected, as expressed by way of promises. Promises. I'll ask two questions here. What are these promises and who receives them? And then we'll move to the final point. What are these promises? We could develop this at some length, but I'll direct your eyes to them. Verses 14 and 15 and 16 in particular, you see the words deliver, protect, there's our title for today. Answering is part of the promise. He's with you, so he's near. He rescues and honors, verse 15. And there's something about long life and satisfaction. In other words, salvation. This is shown. It's a promise. Feast your eyes on the pictures and the promises, because these sound good, don't they? Remember the pictures we just had? You got the enemies falling all around you. Yes, angels guarding you, wings and walls protecting you. We could add to that, I suppose, verse 4, the faithfulness, also translated here, the truth, the word of the Lord, his faithfulness to the promise that he's making here at the end of the song. So when you trust not just that, but the not just the word, but the giver of the word himself here, the one celebrated and mentioned by name, when you celebrate and trust this God, you experience the shield and the buckler and all the things that we've been looking at. It's a song of trust. You think, what does that have to do with voting? Yeah. It's a word about a work, and a word about a person who protects and who makes good on his promises. Those are good things. Do I need to read those again? I will do this. I will do this too. I will deliver, protect, answer, rescue, satisfy. These are blessings. These are gifts of grace. This Lord has got you covered with his wings and with his word. In verses like verse 10, I'll go ahead and ask this here. I don't know if you read devotionally and think, well, this sounds... What? Verse 10, no evil shall be allowed to befall you. Now, could you grab those words and claim those and say, Lord, you know, you said in your word that no evil will befall me, no pestilence, no... So does that mean that we can claim these words and, like magic, say, Lord, you said in your word that there'd be no... Never have pain or peril or pestilence or... Not ever. Now, if the promise means that, then the saints throughout history have some questions to ask. Because they experience pain. They might be confused about this. Adam might have had some questions. Abraham might be asking questions. Joseph, for sure. Jacob, Job, for sure. And he did ask questions. Well, what about you? You got questions about this, but I thought that, look, this is a... That's... Are these promises sure for you? And when you rightly understand them, then you'll get an answer. If you misapply them, you might find yourself disappointed. And that's why we need to ask next, not only what are the promises, but who receives them, as revealed here in this psalm. Here's a short answer. I'll give you the, if you like writing down short answers. Who receives? The one who trusts. The one who trusts. Now, I'll be asking if that's you in just a moment. That appears to be the answer. The one who trusts receives this promise. He receives all the wonderfulness proclaimed since the beginning of the song. Remember the proclamation part, verses 1 and 2. That gets the song going. And then at the end, we get a little bit of an idea what this trust looks like and sounds like and feels like. You see it again, verses 14 and 15. The trust and the trust-er holds fast to the Lord in love, meaning the trust is personal. It's relational. It's deep. It's deeply held. It's grabbed onto, longing for the Lord, for what he's done. He knows my name, verse 14. He calls to me, verse 15. See that? So can you hear the voice of the one, the truster, calling and hearing? And how does this speak to you? So if you're the knowledgeable ones, if this person is you, holding fast in love, the trusting one revealed in this song, I'll give you a short answer again. That's not precisely you. I don't know if you want to jump in and say, no, I'm doing a pretty good job, so I think that I've earned these things. Now, by faith, it is, and this is where we're going to turn to the last point, if this is going to make any sense. I want to zoom in on this final point today, make a few connections that speak to this conviction, the assurance of your protection that is celebrated in this song. This song that is celebrated when your trust is in him, and I'm back to the air quotes there. Am I being too dramatic? Let's see. Let's see if this is part of your protection by way of proclamation, pictures, and promises, and now by way of pronouns. Final point, I realize that in our culture, they kind of did damage to the word pronouns. I'm not about to make a political point, but I am going to make a theological point. And I hope you see it. It very much relates to what it means to be protected. So let's conclude by looking at pronouns, both as written here and revealed right here, and as received right here. I'll point to the pronouns. I think you'll see, you know what a pronoun is? Was that about seventh grade? Isn't that where that happens? Right? He, she, you. You see he and him, and I and my, and you. And they're singular. You think, so what? Well, let's take a look. Let's see if this matters. Verses 1 and 2, so the very opening of the psalm, we have this personal song. It's sung by someone in a time of trial. This is he or him, I and my, at the end of the song, I and my. So that's bracketed, something, those pronouns, see that? And then in the middle, you have a bunch of you. And this is also singular, and this is significant. You, so evidently there is a particular person receiving this divine protection. Okay? And then there's the divine I at the end, the closing, the last verses 14, 15, and 16. So God is speaking, God himself speaks, he's speaking to him and making these bold promises to him. Who is him? That's what we're looking at. Who is you? Revealed in this psalm. This matters. Your protection depends on who he is. I'll cut to the chase. The ultimate answer to who and what is revealed in Psalm 91. You ready? You know this. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. I've asked you, whenever we go through the Psalms, we've been through a number of them. We did a version of this one a while ago. Psalm 91 pings for all kinds of reasons. But when the Psalter is open, the question isn't, what does this psalm say about me? It's, what does it say about Jesus? That's how you get to how it applies to you. Is this song about Jesus? I'll ask it this way. Did Jesus experience Psalm 91? And then I'll remind you or ask you, did Jesus sing this psalm? Jesus sang this very song when he was a kid throughout his life. People ask, why do you guys sing the psalms? We've had a long sermon on that. One reason is because they're about Jesus. And the pronouns used here highlight the personal nature of the song and really the gospel. How comforting it is to know that Jesus sang this psalm and knew it was about him. And then he lived it. He lived this psalm. Everyone whose trust is in him owns this song. And you can sing it like you mean it because you understand it. That Jesus gives it the meaning that is meaningful. And I'm not going to revisit the entire song to show this, but I want to highlight a few features that reveal Jesus by way of pronoun. And again, if this seemed contrived or too clever or too theological, it's a sermon. And it proclaims Christ. And I'm coming at it this way. I've already told this, played my hand before. Luke 24, Jesus tells us straight out. The law, that's about me. The prophets, those are about me. The Psalms, those are about me. So now we ask ourselves, how is Psalm 91 about Jesus? How did he fill it up? I'll give you one clear connection. The reference is verses 11, 12. I read those earlier. If you remember that section in the Gospels, Satan tries to use these very words. He does this in Matthew 4 and Luke 4. He takes these words from the psalm at the temptation in the wilderness. Remember that? He quotes from this psalm, those two verses. If you know that part of the story, then not unlike back in the Garden of Eden, the tempter takes God's word, he twists it, he adds to it, might subtract from it if that's helpful. Why? To deceive. To get his way rather than God's way, God's will. And in this case, the devil tries to get Jesus to test God. Remember? In the wilderness. How? By jumping off the high point of the temple. Suggesting, as the song like Psalm 91 says, that doing so, that's going to be fine. This is heavily implied. Why? Well, you see, the scripture says that he will command his angels concerning you to guard you and bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. So quotes the tempter. As if to say, go ahead, Jesus, jump. Impress all the people at how protected you are. Because when they see God send his angels to scoop you up and not stub your toe, then whoa, wow. Then what a following you're going to receive. It's implied. To which Jesus rightly notes, if you know the story, that it is also written that you shall not put the Lord to the test. And giving in to that temptation would be testing God. Not trusting God, that would be testing God. Big difference. And why would that be testing? Well, because God's revealed will, his way of obedience, was going to come even by way of a cross. A cross that would serve as the place where Satan, the serpent, would get defeated, right? And that's part of the story here. This is part of the song. You say, how so? What's proclaimed here? What's revealed in the very next verse of Psalm 91? You see it there, verse 13? You, singular, you will tread on the lion. You may recall that in 1 Peter, Satan is compared to a lion also. You will tread on the lion and the adder, see that? The young lion, verse 13, and the serpent, again, the dragon. The dragon, you will trample underfoot. Boom. That's the gospel. Now, do you think there's a reason why Satan doesn't quote that verse? It's the next verse. He could have just kept quoting the psalm. He left that verse out. Can you see why? In Psalm 91, you can practically see and hear and feel the promise of Genesis 3:15, the picture also in the Revelation chapter 12 and chapter 20 that celebrate in song the great dragon, the serpent of old, getting crushed and trampled, thrown down in defeat. By whom? Here's a short answer. By you. The you who trusts and the you who receives the promises proclaimed in Psalm 91. That's Jesus. And these pronouns proclaim that, and Jesus knew this when he sang this song, when he lived this song for you. Did evil befall Jesus? Was Jesus tempted and tried and tired and beaten and crucified? And to the point, did Jesus want to gather his people under his wings? I don't know if you turn there. I'll read from Matthew 23. Remember that part of the week before the crucifixion? Jesus cries out, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under his wings? And you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate." Can you hear the tones of Psalm 91 even reverberating throughout that cry? And sure enough, that very week, Jesus went to the cross for his people. A cross that was set up where? It was set up on a hill called the place of the skull, John 19, Golgotha. It's a skull. And on that day, whose skull was getting trampled? The serpent. Where was Jesus' feet? Right on top of that skull. Practically pictured crushing the head of the serpent in defeat. In a victory that was promised of old and pictured then and there and here in the Psalms and proclaimed in passages and in pronouns like those emphasized in Psalm 91. Same story. And I wanted to end with emphasizing the pronouns part because if you try to sing this song apart from Jesus, who is the singer of this psalm, if you try to sing it apart from him and the you, the he, if you just try to slap your own name into the slot of you without understanding how Jesus fills up that word, then you could easily find yourself confused, maybe a little sad, when singing this psalm, because one, your own trust is not this solid. You're holding fast in love, etc., is not enough. Nor can you rightly understand the promises that are given here, including how protected you are, if you're trusting in yourself. You may look at the world you live in, I get it. You may talk about your fears. You may look at the fowler's snares. You might look at a ballot box, wring your hands, look at your own heart, your own temptations, and ask, well, am I really safe in this area? And the psalmist is saying, yeah, you are. You are. This song, these promises belong to those who are in him. Life on this side of glory is not perfect. You know that. You'll need to wait to see that side of the plan. But here's some reality that the risen Lord is revealing here, and that is that you're safe. You're protected in him. If and when you fall into temptation, he provides a way of escape. And he assures you week after week in a service of worship that you're forgiven of those sins as well. And when you find yourself sad or full of sorrow, worried about dangers, unplanned and uncertain things, what deliverance is pictured here? What's promised right here? What's proclaimed right here to you personally? That you trust in him who went before you. The singer of Psalm 91 is Jesus, and he was protected. If you belong to him, these verses point you to him. Of course, the prophets echo these things. Isaiah 53 talks about the suffering one who sees and is satisfied, and the promises are made clear. You can go out and buy an Arlo if you want, or a ring. That doesn't stop trouble. It might not even record it. It won't keep you from feeling afraid. But this psalm is shouting out shelter and wings and shade and shield and safety and, frankly, salvation itself, because it's coming from the outside in. It's coming from outside of yourself and from a Savior who does what? Who protects. How does he do that? Well, first he stomps on snakes. And he shelters you under his wings, no matter what else is going on in the world. Let's pray together. Father, today in Jesus, we pray that you would give us eyes of faith and conviction and trust that is able to see and to sing the good news. The good news that in this life and the next, we are safe, we are protected by King Jesus, the Lord God Most High, in whose name we pray. Amen. Our response to Psalm 91 is to sing Psalm 91. We will use tune B, 91B.